Good morning. So, again, I'll be talking today about palmar coataguria management. And this is unconventional as we've taken a lot of years of study and a lot of data and then combined that to see the actual different processes of managing palmar coataguria. As we know, nitrogen is a very important source for the plants and needs to be managed, especially with crops. That's part of the farmer's main goal is to manage the nitrogen and more importantly, the loss of nitrogen. So what does the palmar coataguria do? Basically, PCU is a controlled release form of nitrogen in which, depending on the brand, that nitrogen will be released between 45 days and 180 days, depending as well on temperature and the coating of the palmar coating. But this enables a better plant uptake of the nitrogen as well as a decreased loss of nitrogen. So it's important to note with PCU that the pore sizes in the actual fertilizer pieces. And as water moves in or is absorbed or moves through the pores of PCU, it actually goes in, dissolves the urea or nitrogen, and then because the water molecules are smaller than the actual nitrogen molecules, it is then able to be released back into the soil. These are a few studies that show just some increases in yield or crop quality that... Again, some are significant or statistically significant as well as others are not, just depending on the study. But some differences in urea versus ESN product or PCU. ESN is PCU product. So if those are part of the increases or if there are yield and quality increases with the use of PCU, it's important that the management practices of using PCU. And these 5 points I'd like to go over today. The first one is matching the needs of the nitrogen that the plant needs as well as the release of the nitrogen. And this graph on the x-axis shows the days after planting and on the y-axis is the total nitrogen uptake by the plants. But you can see here that at day 40, I guess for potatoes between 0 and 40, there's a slower nitrogen uptake. But at day 40, or around day 40, that's when nitrogen really starts to take off in potatoes. And so with that, it's important that the amount of nitrogen or the nitrogen that we need is there. And so I apologize for this graph, but what I want to show you here is that so we'll look at the blue line and the pink line. And it just, on the x-axis, again, it shows the days after planting. On the y-axis, it shows the percent of nitrogen released into the soil. And this, again, this product that we looked at is ESN. Looking at it, you can see the amount released. So the blue line represents pre-planting or at-planting application of ESN. And the pink line represents at-emergence application of ESN. And you can see the at-emergence and when those plants start to uptake the nitrogen are the same. They correlate very well. And so it's important that when PCU is applied for potatoes, it's applied at-emergence and not at planting. That way there's enough nitrogen to get the potatoes and those tubers through the proper growing. There are other products, like Duration, that have a different release, a linear release. And it's important to note, especially with PCU products, that they are related, especially when it comes to the temperature. It's an important part for PCU products. Once they're applied, temperature plays a critical role here. And... it needs to be taken care of there. The next management that I'd like to go over is about loss. As different things increase, such as water or, your rainfall, your saturated soils and hydraulic conductivity. As those things are increased, or the chances of nitrogen loss increases. But with PCU, you actually have a greater likelihood that PCU will be a benefit for your crop. You can actually see in this example on the left here, on your left, the nitrogen or the UAN application versus an ESN application. So in 2007 in Whiting, Iowa, they received about 8 inches of rain in a month. And you can kind of see, it's kind of hard to see with this particular photo, but the UAN treatment, it's a little bit discolored, not as tall as the ESN treatment, but that polymer coating really saved the corn on the ESN treatment just because you had less nitrogen loss. The next point that I'd like to point out is the actual coating, the care and the handling of that polymer coating. When it's fractured, obviously it becomes the same as a urea product. But with proper care, that the polymer coating will react and do as it's supposed to do. We don't have large data sets for this, but several experiences. In one experience, we had 55% coating failure because of overhandling and the way that it was handled by the dealer. In other instances, we've had, you know, maybe a 5% failure rate, but we changed some things with the actual spreading. In the fertilizer spreader, we removed the pipe cushions and we increased the speed of airflow, and with that we had a 38% failure rate. And sometimes if you were to apply PCUs on frozen ground as well, this could also affect the actual structure of the polymer coating. The next item of management is adjusting interpretations. There's been over 100 studies on this done by BYU, Provo, and Idaho, as well as others. But this is statistically significant in the sense that as we were looking at tissue samples and soil samples, the nitrogen parts per million were significantly lower than that of a UAN application. And what we found is overall, on average, it was about 2,000 parts per million difference. But there was no yield difference, or was no yield loss, and we just have to understand that it's the nitrogen form inside the plant. What's the difference? It's just a different form of nitrogen. This also applies to the soil. In conclusion, some other things that were measured by PCU is the increase. We had yield increases as well as reduction in all of your nitrogen loss mechanisms. And so with the proper management, especially with the fertilizer and the timing is super important. And we can, you know, on average see or generally see these results for using PCU products. So this is a little bit about what we talked about today. And again, PCU products can help significantly reduce loss in crops, and it's an important part in especially the management of how those products are used. I'll now turn the time over for any questions.
We have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minutes for questions. Is there a way for farmers to tell in terms of how much damage there is, or how much damage they're causing when they're spreading polymer coating?
That is a good question. Maybe Dr. Hopkins from BYU Provo can answer that. I don't know.
Integrity, they've got a density that's higher than water. be some of my, I guess, best handling methods for that product, keep it on a conveyor belt as much as possible?
Yeah, you know, maybe slowing down the speed of airflow would be good, and making sure, I mean, if you're going to do any pre-planting stuff, maybe make sure that you don't spread when the ground's frozen. Just some of those probably would be best.
Did you measure that estimate of loss through the leaching has changed, or is that?
It has been measured. It has been collected a large amount of data over several years, and we're just not showing that here. Those came from studies done by BYU Provo and BYU Idaho, and other studies as some of it is on potato. Like I showed here, some of it has been, I mean, there's a lot that has been done with corn, wheat, soybean as well.
So on that, most of our leaching work was done with potato, which is a pretty shallow root crop. We've also done a fair amount of work with duration and turf grass. Again, very shallow rooted. I haven't done any work on corn or wheat leaching. Our nitrous oxide and ammonia emissions data, we've got all kinds of scenarios in the grass and potato as well. And we didn't measure that on every single trial we've done, but of the trials that we did, those are the averages that we saw. We saw pretty consistent. As a matter of fact, only one trial did not see significant reductions in nitrous oxide and ammonia losses. Leaching was more of a mixed bag. Sometimes we had leaching losses, and oftentimes we didn't. But very consistent nitrous oxide and ammonia emission reductions.
And Brian, those are published?
I'm working on it. I get my master's students to get that out. They are published at BYU. One just was recently published in PLOS One, and you just contact me. I'd be happy to give you the information on the theses that are published in our library. So if you have any tricks on how to get master's,
I want to know about the consumption of ESN in your area with the urea.
Sorry, say that.
Consumption of ESN at the farmer level compared to urea. Farmers buy ESN, and if they do, what are the tonnage they are going into the farm?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. No.
We have done quite a bit and it's still working. It's definitely a work in progress. But we've actually surprisingly not had as much tree saw damage as I thought we would. We do get released though over the winter, you know. So that's actually been fairly high. We're not ready to really present that data. It's very much a work in progress. But if you'll contact me, I'd be happy to share what you would have so far. And we've done everything from minus 80 degrees to minus 20, and we have pretty robust set of conditions. Freezing thawing, continuous freezing, what happens under the snow, and that kind of stuff. So.
Okay, thank you. We do need to move on to the next one. Thank you, Tyler.